Did you hear that song the choir just got through singing? Well, yeah, you were in the room, right? Did you notice the words that were there? Well, sure you did. With your blood, you paid the price, became a spotless sacrifice. Now, here's the phrase, so that I could become new. I'm telling you, I believe that we need a lot of new hearts in this world. Just think about what's happened just in the world over the last few weeks that have come to our attention. And listen, if something comes to our attention, that means there's a whole lot of other stuff that doesn't come to our attention. The humanist, or some, hang on just a minute. The humanists believe that man is getting better and better. I just don't agree with that. I don't. As we broaden education and as we move into a technology-driven world and as we embrace the autonomy of man kind of being the one calling all the shots, I don't think it's getting better. Now, the picture of the human heart throughout history has not been good, except for that brief period there in the garden. But since then, there's been a lot of problems. In recent days, we've watched a lone gunman walk into a college in Oregon out west and murder and maim individuals in cold blood. Just this week, on several occasions in Jerusalem, innocent people were savagely attacked with a knife. Now, I haven't heard any knife control laws being enacted yet, but here's what's happening. Somebody is inflicting that kind of violence on other individuals. Wars and rumors of war, well, we're going to have those until Jesus comes. But listen, what's going on in the Middle East and other parts of the world is very, very troubling. But are you aware that there is yet today, a slave industry trafficking in children that is so abominable that it just doesn't do to even talk about those kind of things. And yet, it is a billions of dollar industry. And even the state of Alabama is a part of that. Well, not too far from here, a high school coach was arrested on marijuana distribution and sale. Another for a charge of improper behavior with students in a middle school. Just in recent days, many prominent men have been exposed on a website called Ashley Madison. And their lives and their marriages and their impact and their influence have been greatly impacted because of the lust of their heart and toying with things that are wrong. By the way, that website promotes adultery. It's a troubling world we live in. All of those things I've mentioned are all issues of the heart. Unless we get too puffed up and proud here today and say, well, you know, I'm not guilty of stabbing somebody or shooting somebody or being involved in that kind of industry and I'm not out doing what some of these other people. Listen, the heart is the issue. Our hearts have been impacted by sin. Our hearts are prone towards sin. Say, I've never murdered anybody, but have you ever held a grudge or have you ever had hatred toward another person? What Jesus says is that's guilty of murder in our heart. Same thing with lust and many other things. Covetousness, desiring what somebody else has. Envy, strife, and unforgiveness, all of those things are issues of the heart. When the Bible talks about the heart, it's not talking about the muscle in our chest. It's talking about the seat of our very personhood, where the will and the emotions are centered, who we really are. This body that we live in just clothes who we really are. And the Bible has some things to say about the heart. See, all these actions reveal what's in the heart. The reason they're acted out is because they're in the heart to start with. And what it reveals is that mankind is deeply flawed. I don't think we're getting better and better as a society. I don't think we're getting better and better as a world. I think we're going to continue to see the onslaught of the wickedness of the heart of man. In his will, he desires what is wrong and contrary to the will of God. In his emotions, he desires those things that are forbidden. Man is a flawed individual. In the Old Testament, in the book of Jeremiah, there's a man on the scene, Jeremiah, who was both a prophet and a priest. And he lived in a very interesting period of time. In fact, Jeremiah's life sort of spanned upwards of 50 years with the people of God. And his role in that day was to preach against their sin. His role was to preach against how they have gone wrong. And his role was to warn them of the inevitable consequences of their sin. Jeremiah preached to the nation of Israel before Judah was carried into exile. So he's there warning them ahead of time. And then Jeremiah goes through the exile to Babylon. Began in the 605 and in 586 BC. In its fullness, the nation of Israel was taken into exile to Babylon. And here is the prophet who goes with them through that. And so he preaches to them during the years even of the exile. Jeremiah identified the sins in the nation. You know what some of the sins of the nation were? It's sort of the same sins of today. The first sin was that of idolatry. Now these are people who are supposed to know better, right? This wasn't the pagan countries. This was the people of God, and yet they were worshiping other gods. Idolatry. They were running after other things and putting God not in a preeminent place, but in another place. They were living the charges of relying on the flesh. In other words, I don't want to answer to God. I don't want him involved. I'm going to rely on my own strength, my own defenses, my own ingenuity. And in that way, discounting who God really is. And then he says, interestingly enough, greed is not something that is new to our day. Even dishonest gain is being pointed out as a sin of this nation against God and against others. Jeremiah is faithful to bring that out. But then in a passage that's very familiar to you, in chapter 17 of Jeremiah, I want to look at this verse because I think it, in a nutshell, sort of brings together the things that I'm trying to communicate to us this morning to think through. Because in this verse, there are three descriptions of the human heart. Remember what I said about what the human heart is? That's who we really are. That's the real us. That's where the center of our will, our mind, our emotions are. And he gives us some indication and he describes the human heart. Here's what he says in verse 9. The heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? One of the things that he says about the human heart is that it is desperately sick. This is an incurable disease, is what he's talking about. This is something that medical science can't take care of. This is something that psychology can't take care of. This heart is incurably sick. It sins undercover. And then It sins blatantly. And what I mean by blatantly is it just is out there for all to see. In fact, some of you in your Sunday school classes are studying through Genesis, and you've come across this verse, I know, in your study in chapter 6. In chapter 6, here's what preceded the great flood of when God destroyed the earth. Look what it says. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. Genesis 6 verse 5. Then the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great on the earth. Now listen to this phrase right here. And that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now you tell me that the human heart over this period of time has gotten better and better and better. And I believe that's a pretty good description of what's going on in the world today. I read earlier about in India where a pastor was beaten and his wife was beaten and she got away with an 18-month-old child, but they were beaten simply because they were Christians worshiping God and they were being forbidden to do that. In fact, if you do any reading at all, in all parts of the world today, there's a great violence of men on men. And listen, we've seen plenty of that here in America as well, haven't we? Now, do we think we're above this kind of condemnation of God against our sin? Because we are in the 21st century, and because we are highly educated people, and we live in a prosperous nation, and we got a lot of good things going. I think not. I think the charge is still true about the human heart. Listen, why do we have laws anyway? If man was so good, why in the world do we have laws? Why do we need law enforcement? I mean, isn't it enough just to say, all right, here's the laws, here's what you're supposed to do, and here's what you're not supposed to do, and that ought to be it, right? But no, we have to employ and arm law enforcement people. Why? Because we look at the law that's posted, and we say, I got a better idea. I'm an exception to the rule. I don't want that. That offends me. That hurts my feelings. I'm going to do what I want to do. Or we may just be belligerent and say, I don't believe in any law except my own law. Human heart is desperately wicked. It's sick. You know, if you go to the doctor, and I know I've been with some of y'all in the doctor's office, and your heart's messing up. There's some things they do with the heart, the muscle in our chest. You know, sometimes they'll go in there and they'll shock that thing back into rhythm. That sounds like a fun trip. Sometimes they'll run this little wire up through your artery and go in there and they'll put a thing called a stent in it to keep the artery open. Bill, sometime they'll saw that chest bone open, won't they? And they'll go in there and widen that thing out, and they get a whole bunch of hands in. Sorry, Stan, I'm really distorting the art of heart surgery. That's just the way it appears to me. We got all these people hanging up. Okay, they go in there and they take some arteries, sometimes out of the leg or something else, and they reroute it around the heart. Sometime they'll get a bovine. Y'all know what a bovine is? That's a cow. And they'll take that valve of that cow heart and stick it in. Stan, I'm sorry. This is the best I can do. And they'll stick it in there and sew it in place and close that chest back up and say, take two aspirins and come back and see me in 2 weeks when the hurting's over. We've repaired the heart. And listen, many of you sitting in this room this morning know the joy of having that heart repaired. It's given you extended life and quality of life and all that kind of stuff. That's the human heart. Can I tell you something? The spiritual heart of man doesn't need an operation. It doesn't need a stent or a bypass. What man needs is a new heart because it is desperately sick. It is beyond cure. He must have a new heart. Why do we see the issues and the problems we do? Because people's hearts are desperately wicked, and they need a new heart. Well, that's not all it says about the heart, is it? It says that the heart's deceitful. Listen, your heart, that center of your emotions and your will, it'll lie to you. Your emotions will really lie to you sometime. You know, it's like when you don't have any money in your pocket and you're out there at the store and there's a sale on. And your emotions say, whew, I better have that. And your pocketbook says, there's nothing to get it with. But your heart will figure out a way, won't it? Your heart will lie to you and say, you've got to have that. You're not going to be happy unless you have that. That's what advertisers do to us all the time anyway. If you're not driving a certain kind of car, wearing a certain kind of perfume, wearing a certain sort of clothes, you cannot be happy. And when you get those things, that's going to make you happy. How many of y'all found that to be true? I mean, as fun as a new car is, I got a new car in 1973. New car. Smelled new. I have to buy spray stuff to make it smell like that now. I had it for about a month, and somebody backed into it. Tore up the whole rear quarter panel. I thought that car was what I needed, and that was going to make me happy. You know what a bent quarter panel on a car looks like? It didn't make me happy. We fool. Our heart will lie to us and tell us we're okay. You know, we have to do a whole lot of advertising about heart disease because people ignore the warning signs. You know, you start getting the pain down the left arm. Well, I just worked too hard. You start getting this pain in the middle of your chest. I'm sorry, I'm bringing back bad memories for a lot of you. This pain, well, it's probably just indigestion. I hope it is. Maybe so, but sometimes it's not, right? You know, your jaw gets stiff and starts aching. I mean, all those signs. But what we tend to ignore the warning signs. Now, that's just in our physical body. In a spiritual sense, our heart is so wicked and so incurably sick that it lies to us. Oh, you don't need that God stuff. You're going to be all right. You don't need to deal with sin in our heart. I mean, that's just a bunch of man-made, made-up stuff. Your heart will lie to you. Your heart will justify your actions, too. It will. We have this innate ability. You know where it comes from? It comes from a sick heart. We have the innate ability to justify every wrong action that we do. Well, they had it coming. That's why I gave it to them. We can justify whatever our actions are. It's because our heart's deceitful. It lies to us, and we even believe our own lies that we fabricate in our heart. And I just want to say, the heart is not only deceitful and desperately sick, but the heart is deadly. Because unless that heart is dealt with, spiritual death continues for all eternity. The heart is desperately wicked. It's amazing that so many people listen to their heart and follow their heart. Well, let's go back to Jeremiah 17 because I want you to see some more of this. Because we've looked at three descriptions of the heart, but I want you to see three actions that God takes here. In verse 9 there, right at the very end of that verse, this question is asked, in light of what the heart is, who can understand it? I'll tell you who can understand it. The answer is in verse 10. You see what it says? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind. The word there is literally the kidneys because they thought the very center of emotion in person was in the kidneys. You know, I love you with all my kidneys, just didn't quite get it. I love you with all my heart sounds a lot better, right? What does he say? I test the mind. In other words, I'm putting it, I'm evaluating, I'm looking at it, even to give to each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds. The Lord searches the heart. Hey, the Lord searches your heart. The Lord tests the mind. Hey, listen, he evaluates and tests your mind as well. The Lord judges our deeds. Every person will one day stand and give an account before the righteous God. They will give an account. And here's a God who deals, hear me, impartially. It doesn't matter what family you were born in. It doesn't matter what your influence is. It doesn't matter what people think about you or any of that kind of stuff. The Lord will judge us impartially before His standards and His law. Listen, that's what He's doing even to this day. Do you believe that the result of the fall of man made the heart damaged to the point that it doesn't need repair? It's beyond repair. You don't need a stent in your spiritual life. You don't need a bypass in your spiritual life. You need a new heart. A new heart repents toward God. There's the indication of a new heart. An old heart wants to play games with God, but a new heart, once we're given a new heart, once we're given spiritual life, that heart responds in repentance toward God. That heart that's been hard and stiff and rebellious and resistant to God now finds itself warm toward God to the point of turning. That's what repenting means, to turn from. Not to justify my sin, not to continue in it, but to turn from it, to repent of sin toward God. It's with a heart that man believes in Christ. Or if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your what? Your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. I tell you, a new heart responds in faith to Jesus Christ, to who He is, to what He did on the cross, and to the reality of His glorious resurrection as well. But hear me, here's where sometimes we get tripled, or we get, what's the word I'm trying to say? We stumble, we get tripped up. You know, it's simple words I can't get out sometimes. Here's where we get tripped up. A new heart desires and follows in obedience to God. Listen, I can say all day long I'm a child of the King, but if I'm not living like a child of the King, if the direction of my life is not pursuing the King, then I'm kidding myself. My heart hadn't been changed. But if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. That's not where I'm living anymore. Behold, all things have become new. All things are becoming new. I'm a new person. I have a new heart. My heart is yielded and pursuing God. That's another indication of a new heart. A new heart loves God. You know, the old wicked heart doesn't love God. The old wicked heart wants to play games with God, wants to bargain with God. If you'll give me or if you'll do this for me, then I'll do something. Well, we want to play games with God. We get the idea that God's some vending machine, that if I just put in the right amount of stuff, I can get whatever I want out of Him. Boy, that's not a picture of a new heart. A new heart loves God. Now listen, we don't do any of this stuff perfectly, do we? No, we don't do it perfectly. But there's been a change in us. Whereas before there wasn't a desire for God for Himself, but it was more, what can you do for me? What can you do for me? I had some grandkids at my house this week. I did a 5-minute diatribe for I won't, I need, I won't, I need, I won't. You know, in a trite sort of way, that's the way an unregenerate heart approaches God. Gimme. I won't. Gimme. I mean, it's just as sickening as that. Oh, but a new heart loves God. And here's the other part of that. A new heart, an evidence of a new heart, it also loves people. Now, that's what 1 John says. You can't sell this argument. Well, I love God, but I hate those people. Mm-mm. What Scripture says is that you're just indicating that you're a liar and the truth's not in you. Now listen, is everybody easy to love? Mm-mm. And I tell you what, an old, diseased, sick, mortally sick, deceitful heart doesn't do that. But a new heart does. A new heart does. A genuine love for God and a genuine love for people. That is evidence of a new heart. Something new has happened to that person. Now, let me mention these verses before we go. Still in the book of Jeremiah, listen to what God says through Jeremiah. I will put my law, listen to this one. I will put my law within them. I'm not going to have to post it on the wall. No, I'm going to put my law within them. And I will write it on their hearts, on their mind, on their emotion, on their will. My law will be written there. In other words, it's not the big club going around, you see what's on the wall there, you doing it. No, it's written on our heart because we've been given a new heart. And I will be their God and they shall be my people. For I will forgive their iniquity, I will remember their sin no more. And they shall be my people. And I will be their God, I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever. That's what it means to have a new heart. What's the problem in the world today? We got people whose hearts are sick, desperately so, and their hearts are deceitful. What do they need? They need a new heart. Listen, what he says there in Jeremiah, that's the picture of a saved person. They have a new heart. It's written on their very being. A heart that's sick and deceitful is deadly because it refuses to forsake sin and repent. It just refuses to do it. It persists with this idea, I just put a Band-Aid on the problem and it's going to be all right. It's going to get better. Hey, listen, a diseased spiritual heart does not get better on its own. It must have the great physician to come in and do a surgery beyond something that humans can even comprehend, a supernatural event where he changes, where he gives a new heart. A sick and deadly heart continues to fool itself that there's nothing wrong with it. There'll be people who'll walk out of this room and walk out of churches all over this community and all over the world today saying, well, that doesn't apply to me. And they'll walk out without their heart being changed. The unregenerate heart, the wicked, desperately wicked heart, the deceitful heart ignores the warning signs. And listen, God has put those warning signs in us. Our conscience bears witness of what's right and wrong. And we refuse even our own conscience. The Word of God clearly sets forth. And yet the heart that is opposed to God, the heart that's desperately sick, wants to go its own way, wants to ignore the signs. We justify it. We say it this way sometimes. Well, you know, things are going all right for me. I don't need that. Maybe later. You know, nowhere in the Scripture does the Scripture say Come to faith tomorrow. The day of salvation is tomorrow. When's the day of salvation? It's today. It's today. Personal question for you. What shape is your heart in today? What shape is your heart? Hey, listen, you may have good blood pressure. You may have no blockages, all those kind of things in your human heart. But your spiritual heart is the one that matters. Because hear me, and I don't want to have to break bad news to you, but every one of us in here, one of these days, this physical heart is going to stop beating. One of these days, this spiritual heart is going to die. I mean, this physical heart is going to die. The reason this warning and this plea about our spiritual life is because it goes on forever. Where will we spend eternity? It depends on your heart. If you've got a new heart toward God, you will spend eternity in His presence. But hear me. Unless your heart is changed, unless you're given a new heart, unless you repent, unless you embrace by faith the work of Christ on your behalf, you will perish. You'll be separated from God and everything good for all eternity. I spoke to a group yesterday, and I was just sort of thinking through how silly we are sometimes. You know, you've heard, and I've heard people say things like this. Well, I tell you what, I'll just see y'all in hell. And they're proud of that statement. I'm just going to be there with all my buddies. You know, the idea is, okay, we're going to party together, like we do here on this earth. We're going to party in hell. What a skewed, wrong picture of what hell is like. It's not party time. Separated from God and all that is good forever. Not going to be happiness. That's emptiness in this world, but it's definitely not going to play in the life to come. It's a place of judgment. That's why the work of Christ and what we sang about this morning about the Lamb of God is so very precious. Because God saw us. He saw the impact of sin on our hearts and our lives. And He did something about it because we couldn't. And Jesus Christ came and took the ugliness and the filth of our sin and our past, and He took it upon Himself. And He died. Because you see, the wages of sin is death. The soul that sins, it shall die. And that's not talking just physically, though that's a part of it, but eternally. But Jesus took your sin, my sin, upon Himself. He paid the penalty for our sin. So therefore, God can justly say, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. I'll give you a new heart. I'll give you a new life. I'll give you a new destiny in eternity. But you must turn from your sin. You must repent and believe. Let me ask you, will you do that this morning? Some of you have sat under preaching. You've had people share the gospel with you time after time after time, and yet your heart has remained unmoved. I want to tell you something. You need a new heart. Would you cry out today, oh God, give me a new heart. Oh God, change me. Oh God, forgive me of my sin. He hears the prayer of the one who comes on His terms. If you got a new heart, if you've been born again and you've been saved, live it and act on it. You're not who you used to be. The world needs to see the demonstration of somebody who has a changed, new heart. And God has placed every one of you who are believers in a sphere of influence where people know you, observe you, have contact with you, and you're to be the light of life to them because it's been brought to you. Well, I'm glad God gave me a new heart, aren't you? Stand with me and let's pray. Father, I pray that you would